There are dimensions hidden in Jesus Christ our Lord, found in the very Word of God, which is expressly made known by the Holy Spirit. Join me as we welcome the ministration of God's servant, Pastor Bola Bello, at Diocese 2019, the warfare of the kingdom. Relax, relax, enjoy the ministration.
Please come right up as we receive the ministry of Pastor Bola Bello. Father, we are grateful tonight. Thank you for what you have given unto us. Thank you for what you are bringing. From the time unknown, you have been our sustainer. You have been our help, our hope, our salvation. Before we were formed, you have ordained us, you preached. You have called us into the palace to reign and to sit with you. We are privileged people. And we are not taking it for granted. We want an expression of your priesthood upon our lives. We want an expression of your kingship upon our lives. Speak to us. Let your word make meaning to us. Thank you, dear Father. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Hallelujah. I'm standing on the existing protocol because of our time that is fast spent, and I want to appreciate all the servants in the house, and I want to thank God for Pastor and Pastor Mrs. Osanibi for the good work that you are doing. God will continue to bless and uphold you in the name of Jesus. Praise the name of the Lord. Shout hallelujah. Shout hallelujah. I remember last year when we were talking about thy kingdom come, there was this perspective that I brought into it, and as Pastor Shafe was ministering, there was a recap of those things that were said then, especially when we were paraphrasing, because it took us another 1 year, a year, for us to talk about it, the theme, Thy Kingdom Come. And there are certain aspects that I spoke about that I also want to talk a little bit of it in order to bring the reality of it in our lives. Because it's not as if we are called to, you know, talk on things that is not real, or talk on things that we cannot relate with, but on certain things that will be of beneficial, that will be of help to our journey. And I said very profound that now there are three perspectives to the kingdom of God. We look at the kingdom in the eternity past, we look at the kingdom in the eternity present, and we look at the kingdom in the eternity to come. Praise God. Now, the kingdom in the present, is something that we really need to bring into our life. Because we can begin to look at the kingdom as, well, the kingdom is of God alone. Of course, that's true. But we must not forget the fact that we are also partakers of this kingdom, and God has called us kings and priests. We are both priests and kings. So the question is, how do I operate as king? Because if we cannot come into the reality of the fact that we are kings and bringing that sense of kingship into our domestic activities, we will discover that the kingdom of God will become a marriage to us. It will become an esoteric thing that we cannot relate with. Kingdom can be, we can relate with the kingdom. And so these are the things that I trust the Holy Spirit to help me to talk in the next few minutes that I'm going to stand here. The book of Acts, chapter 17. Acts chapter 17. I read from verse 20. Okay, let me start from verse 21. For all the Athenians and strangers which were there spent their time in nothing else but either to tell or to hear some new thing. That was the life of the people in Athens. They want to hear new things. Or they want to tell the story that is new. If anything that you are saying is not new to them, it does not make sense. And just like You know, Pastor Tayo was telling us about the Indians who want to daily add gods to their gods, to their present God. So the same thing is with these people. They want to hear new things. Then Paul stood in the midst of Mars Hill, and said, "Ye men of Athens, I perceive that in all things ye are too superstitious. For as I passed by and beheld your devotions, I found an altar with this inscription, to the unknown God. To the unknown God. Whom therefore ye ignorantly worship, him declare I unto you." Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Don't worry, that's in junk. God that made the world and all things therein, seeing that he is Lord of heaven and earth, dwells not in temples made with hands, neither is worshipped with men's hands, as though he needed anything, seeing he gives to all life, breath, and all things, and hath made of one blood all nations of men, for to dwell on all the face of the earth, and has determined the times before appointed and the bounds of their habitation. King of glory, I present myself again unto you. Make my pen like that of ready writer. Let me speak the things that is yours. Remove everything that is of man. Let my tongue be sharpened. Let it become a cutting edge. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let the word that is being spoken rub off on us. Let it make an impact and impression upon our destiny. Thank you, dear Father. In Jesus Christ's name, we have prayed. Now, the first thing that I want us to know is that priests are kingdom. Priests are what? A kingdom. Priests are kingdom. Yes. Exodus chapter 20. Priests. Our kingdom. They are the kingdom. And it's important for us to know. Can you quickly give me that scripture? Exodus 19 verses. "And ye shall be unto me a kingdom of priests." You shall be unto me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. So priests are kingdom. It's very, very important for us to have consciousness of that fact, that priests are kingdom. And of course, you may not understand, but by the time I begin to break it down, you will understand why I make that statement, especially with biblical references that I'm going to allude to. Priests are kingdom. As a matter of fact, priests are also kingmakers. They are what? They are kingmakers. They are the one who make kings. They are the one who determines the king. Priests are those people who stand in a place and determine who rules. They determine the king of the land. Praise God. This is quite instructive for us, especially those of us that are in this part of the world, so that we will be awake unto our responsibility and come up unto the truth of who we are. Kings are those who make kings. They are those who they are the one who anoint kings. They are the one who anoint kings. And without priests, there is no king. They are kingmakers. And they sustain kings. Of course, you remember the book of Jeremiah chapter 51. If you are reading from verse 22, can you quickly give me? There is reason why I'm saying this. Look at, he said, "With thee." Give me verse 21. He was talking to Jeremiah. Okay? And we all know that Jeremiah is a prophet. He's also a priest. Amen. And he was telling him who he is. He said, "With you will I break in pieces horses and his riders. And with you will I break in pieces chariots and his rider." Verse 22. "With you also will I break in pieces man and woman, etc., etc." Now, that is the placement of a king. They are the one who sustain king, and they are the one who dethrone king. Priests have capacity to dethrone king. They can say, enough of you, we don't want you again. God has made king to stand in, of course you remember Samuel, the book of 1 Samuel. Can you give me the book of 1 Samuel? Is it 1 Samuel chapter 15? 1 Samuel chapter 15. Give me verse 22. 1 Samuel, look at it. I want to quickly run because the journey is a bit far. And Samuel said, had the Lord as great delight in burnt offering and sacrifice, as in obeying the voice of the Lord. Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of ram. 23. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and the stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, he has also rejected thee from being king. Praise God. So they have the mantle and the capacity of government. When I say government, I'm not talking of earthly government, I'm talking about the heavenly government in order to judge the government of the earth. In order to judge the government of the earth. And the reason for this is not far-fetched, is to be able to replant another king with his kingdom inclined. Praise God. With his kingdom inclined. Because we have seen a lot of, we have seen in our nation where we allow kings who are not righteous to continue, as a, and we just sit down, we say, 4 years, if I pray. In 4 years, they will destroy destiny. They will destroy life. They will make life very unbearable. And the function of priests is to stop their activities and to make the government unbearable. Our voice must not only be heard, even in that place, but it must be heard in heaven. That's why he said that you shall make a decree and it shall be established. But there are processes unto it. And these are the things that I want to quickly talk about today. Praise God. So, look, verse 23. Verse 24. Verse 24. And Saul said unto Samuel, listen, I have sinned. For I have transgressed the commandment of the Lord and thy word, because I fear the people and obey their voice. Now therefore I pray thee, pardon my sin. You did not sin against Samuel, you sinned against God. Praise God. And turn again with me, that I may worship the Lord. Now, and Samuel said unto Saul, I will not return with thee. For thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, and the Lord hath rejected thee from being king. His kingdom ceases. Right henceforth, right from there, the kingdom of Saul ceased. He pronounced a judgment because he's a priest that you are not going to proceed any further. Why? Because you have disobeyed the word of God. You have rejected the instruction of God. And I look at it, I ask myself, if this was to be David, what do you think David will say? Do. David will break down and begin to cry. He begins to break down and he begins to weep. But there is no symbol of repentance. But he was before the priest. Now look at what he did. As Samuel turned about to go away, he lay hold upon his skirt. Oga Ole Lo, you can't go. Where are you going? You are before the king. He has forgotten the king of the heaven is standing before the king of the earth. Praise God. So he lay hold upon the skirt of his mantle and it wrenched. It was not deliberate, but it was wrong for him to do it. As a matter of fact, if you go back to the book of Leviticus, you will discover the role of priest. He does not have the right to touch the garment of the priest. Praise God. So he tore the garment and the garment ran. Look at the judgment. And Samuel said unto him, the Lord has what? Hath rent the kingdom of Israel from thee this day and hath given it into neighbor of thine that is better than thou. The next thing was to go and anoint another king who has become a king henceforth. Right from there, he rejected the king and he planted another king. Praise the name of the Lord. Shout hallelujah. Now I'm saying this thing so because it is important for us to understand the role of a priest. I mean, to understand the role of a priest as it affects the kingdom. Praise God. Now, we are not talking about the kingdom of God in heaven, but we are talking about the kingdom of God here on earth.
thy kingdom come, thy will be done here on earth as it is done there in heaven. And so it is difficult for the will of God to be done on earth, especially in a territory where the kingdom, listen, even in a corporate world, in a corporate organization, it takes a priest to sustain the empire. I don't know whether you understand. In a corporate entity, in Nigeria, there is no ruler, there is no president that has come to Asorok that is without a priest. They have their marabouts. They have their priests. But our priesthood is higher, is in the high frequency than their priesthood. Okay? They have their marabouts. I remember there was a time when we want to get a contract from Lekki Aradua. And we traveled to Katsina. Before we got to the man, we never knew that it was the marabout of Yaradua. Before we got to him, the man saw us. We right from the candle, they gave us a letter. The man who can talk to Yaradua is there. What we want to do then is that this OP that they were doing now, praise God. And so, before we get there, he noticed that we were coming. And he told us, he said, he began to tell every one of us about his life. And I look at him, I said, this is an imam, marabout. Praise God, a marabout. Do you understand? He said, well, it's unfortunate, the man that you want to transfer business will soon leave. And that was when I knew that, he said, the man will soon leave, that I don't wait till another one comes. I said, who is another one? You know what he said? He said, you are a Yoruba man. Go to Abeokuta, go and find out. I said, are you saying that Obasanjo is coming? He said, he knows the person who is coming. Go and find out from him. He's a priest. After the order of occultism. But he knew that a king is going and another king is coming. Now, what happened to us, those of us that have the original oracle? What do we do with our oracle? How do we use our oracle? How do we activate the things, especially for our nation? Because if we continue to fold our hearts, of course, I know our problems. And we can see blames. We can look at it and say, oh, it's can't problem. We can look at it and say, it's PFN problem. But do you know that we don't need PFN to do what is required of us? The Bible says that we are two or three priests. Do you understand? We are two or three priests gathered together. I am in their midst. It takes only two, three priests. It took Samuel alone to unseat Saul. It took Samuel alone to enthrone David. So it can only take two of us to unseat the kingdom that we know that is not the kingdom of God. Praise God. And so when we are looking at Islamic terrorism, we are looking at Boko Haram activities and so on and so forth, as I was meditating on this word, I look at it, I said that 7 days prayers by power and glory alone can do a lot. Praise God. It can do a lot. But listen, it does not happen that way. There are certain processes in which a priest is ordained before he becomes the oracle. A priest is not just, that's why I said it. All are Levites, if you are born again, but not all are priests. But from Levite, you can migrate into the priesthood office. Praise God. Somebody says, is it a promotion? Yes, they need to see your consistency before they commit that work into your hands. It's a serious sacrifice, it's a serious work. Praise God. So, we really need to look at what makes an individual a priest. How do I come? What are the disciplines of priesthood? A priest that, after the order of Jeremiah, a priest after the order of Elijah, praise God, who will stand before the vase and say, all of you are dead today. What will take me and you to become that kind of priest? And this is the aspect that I want to consider tonight. Now, the book of Hebrews chapter 7, verse 28. Hebrews 7, 28. He said, for the law maketh men high priest, which has infirmity. In other words, priesthood have their law. There is law that makes you a priest. I'm not talking of the Decalogue. I'm not talking of the Ten Commandments. I'm not talking about the ritualistic activities of Israel. But there are certain law of righteousness and the law of truth that makes an individual to become a priest. Though they have men of infirmity, but the word of the oath, the Bible talks about the word of the oath, which was since the law. In other words, the word that made a priest is the word of oath. And that word has since been from the day of Aaron. Praise God. When he was making the house of Levi as priest for Israel. So it was with oath. But that oath has not ceased. The oath is still relevant. The word of oath, but the word of oath, which was since the Lord, make the son. Who is what? Who is what? Consecrated. Who is consecrated forevermore? Who is consecrated forevermore? Now, that is the pattern of the priest in which we are. That is our pattern of priest. But there was a word of oath that consecrated him. Now, that word of oath does not only consecrated him, he also consecrated himself for the purpose of the oath that was sown on his behalf. He said, for this reason, I come. For this purpose, I am ordained. Praise God. So there was a word of oath that made us priests. And of course, it goes along with consecration. It goes along with what? With consecration. So, in other words, if we are going to do those things in uprooting another kingdom to plant the kingdom of God, we must come to the place of consecration. We must come to the place of sacrifice. We must become another lamb. Because priests are lamb. Priests are lamb. They are sacrificial lamb. And until you come into this office, you can never uproot a kingdom. I told you that as little as I am, I have stopped the movement of leader. I have said, no, we are not going to have this one. I said it over and again. When I was in the Navy, this one will not be a chief of naval staff. And I pray, I separated 3 days. I said, this one, no, I reject you, heaven reject you. I stand upon the promises of God that this man will not come. I did not say no. I said, you won't. And God told me, I have heard your prayer. I went to the office the following day. I said, congratulations. That man, he said, no, he's already chief of naval staff. As a matter of fact, I said, forget it. That's before we leave the office that day, he was announced as retired. Praise God. He was announced retired. And people are, Bola, prophet, no. Praise God. I told them, we have the authority. We have the mantle of authority. But except we consecrate ourselves for that purpose. Now, I think Pastor Tai Oladejo has helped us in this aspect of this consecration. And the book of Hebrews that I read also talk about the fact that we are with infirmities. So in other words, our consecration does not mean flawlessness. Okay? It does not mean flawlessness. It doesn't mean that, oh, Pastor Bello cannot get angry. I can get angry with any of you after I drop mic. Praise God. It's not a sin. And that does not diminish my office. It doesn't reduce my person and my sonship in God and my priesthood. Praise God. So that's the kind of infirmity. But we really need to understand that those things are the threat for us to operate in that office. They are threats. They are what Satan used against warfare praise. What was it? Tell him to keep quiet. It's between me and my Father. Praise God. And if God is not offended about it, who are you? Praise the name of the Lord. Now, look at Hebrews chapter 6. Now, this is the oath. This is the oath. Hebrews 6 from verse 15. Quickly, I want to run because I'm getting to the main thing now. For men verily swear the greater, and an oath for confirmation is to them an end of all strife. If I have issue with pastor now, and I say, I didn't do it. No, they say, it's you that. And I said, God in heaven knows that I did not do. That's to end the strife. Because he should be able to trust me that I will not call the name of the Lord God in vain. Do you understand? That should be the end of the strife. Now look at what he said. Verse, really, God willing, more abundantly, to show unto the heirs of promise the immutability, the unchangeableness of his counsel, confirm it by an oath. There's an oath that is sworn over us. There's an oath that is sworn concerning our office. There's an oath that says that establishes our priesthood. Praise God. And that oath is confirmed by the blood. That oath is consecrated by the blood of the Lamb. Praise God. So the Bible said that by the two immutable things. What are these two immutable things? In which it was impossible for God to what? To lie. He can't lie that we are priests. If we are not priests, he won't say we are priests. But the reason for our priesthood is what we must understand. It's not just a nomenclature. It's not a mere name. It's not just an office for feeling good alone. It's an operational office. It is for purpose. It is for counsel. It is for fight. Priests are warriors. There is no battle that is won without the participation of priests. If priests does not go to battle with the Israelites, they cannot win the battle. The Ark of Covenant represents priesthood presence. Praise God. So, now you cannot begin to see, sir, that by three mutable things in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation. Those of us who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us. And that hope is the hope of the kingdom. Praise God. There is the hope of the kingdom that is set before us, but we really need to lay hold on it. Listen, the Bible said, the book of Psalm 110, he said, sit down at my right hand until I make your enemy. I will send forth the rod out of Zion. God is sending forth rod out of Zion. And we are the rod of the Lord that is going to use to pull down strongholds and governments. We must begin to wake up to our responsibility. We can't come here. Listen, in this environment, we need to stand up and decree a thing about our nation. We need to decree a thing about our country. We need to decree a thing about government. We need to say a thing about the religion. We can't fold our hands. God did not call you to come and eat alone. He's not feeding you for the sake of feeding sake. He's feeding you for the purpose of functionality. And if you are not functioning as for the purpose of when he gives you food, he can take the food away. Praise God. Hallelujah. So, it goes beyond an individual. It is a government thing. It is about the kingdom. It is the kingdom thing. If it is me alone, I don't need to bother. A man came to my office and he said, you lied to me that this thing you purchased is so much at this amount. I said, why do I need to lie to you? Who are you? Did I take money from you? Why should I lie? I said, you must be out of your sense for you telling me that I lied to you. Who are you? Did I borrow money from you? And he said, maybe. I said, listen, even if I am not doing what I am doing, I can sit down with my pension. And that's the truth. I can sit down with my pension and feel good. It's not that I just have a new baby now. But before that new baby is grown to the stage of sending her to school, to secondary, I have a school, not a primary school that she will go free of charge. Praise God. Maybe before that time, sir, I would have had secondary school. Maybe before she graduated, I would have had my own private university. Praise God. Do you understand what I'm saying? So I feel good. Why should I lie to you? I said, I'm a priest. A priest doesn't lie. Why will I lie to you? It is important for us to know that it is not about you. Your coming here is not for you alone. Listen, the problem in our spiritual warfare is because we look at warfare as personal. Yes, we have personal issues. There's no doubt about that. Beyond our personal issue, there is also an heavenly issue. And until the heavenly issue is solved, the personal issue cannot be resolved. Why don't we shift our attention to the heavenly issues? He said, consider the lily. They toil not. Yes, the glory of Solomon. In fact, what a shame. That riches is not as glorious as the glory that God put upon the lily. Who live for one day. Just one day. He said they come up in the morning. In the evening, they wither away. So, why do I now, what is the big deal about individual? Why don't we set apart our personal issue? He said, God cares for you. He will provide for your need. But one thing first. Set your priority right. Say, it's a kingdom thing. It's a kingdom issue. It's a kingdom matter. Set your priority right. In other words, when you seek the things of the kingdom and all this righteousness, there are people who seek the things of the kingdom not in righteousness, but as a result of the greed of their hearts. Praise God. As a result of the anger of in their belly. As a result of what they will eat, they are not better than those who are working, who take corporate jobs in town. Seeking for the kingdom of God and all his righteousness, every other thing will be added unto you. Praise the name of the Lord. So, what is now required of a priest? Before a man becomes a priest in authority, that is devotion. Praise God. Say devotion. Can you say devotion? Can you say devotion? I'm not hearing you saying it. Listen, devotion is not just an act, but it's a commitment to the cause that you believe in. Hey, devotion is not just an act. Because we have an act of devotion in our house every morning. That's not devotion. That is just a prayer meeting. Early in the morning, you gather your family together. You call it. That's not devotion. Devotion is not when you sit down and you are praying. You are looking at Psalms. To use Psalms to pray for you. No, that's not devotion. I pray that the Holy Ghost is going to help me to really define what devotion is. So that we change our orientation about the issue of devotion. Devotion is not just an act, but it's a commitment to the cause and to the purpose in which you actually believe in. This is the cause. Now, when we talk about devotion, it involves the entirety of your whole life. Your whole life is involved when we are talking about devotion. Devotion is that You give all that you have unto it. All that you have. I am devoted to this cause. I am devoted to this purpose. In other words, that is the primary assignment. Every other assignment award are secondary. Now, you are ready for priesthood. You are ready for pulling down of strongholds. You are ready for pulling down of government. You are ready to talk to government in high places, to principalities in high places. Because you have come to the place of devotion. You have given all of yourself unto Him. Praise God. It is a life of commitment. It's a passion to something you love most. Do you understand? It's a passion. A passion to something you love most. I don't know what you love most. Praise God. See, you can call it religion. That's your definition of it. When it is time for church, every other thing in the house does not make sense to me again. As my wife is here, if I'm lying, at my worry, my rolling power. When it is time for church, every other issue, you want, before it could receive my attention, Holy Spirit, that's a question. Please wait and hear that. Do you understand? Because it's an act of devotion. It's a devotion. I will look at it. If I cannot go to my office late, do you understand? Hello? The Futa student, you have exam. Chemistry 101. Abby? At 7:30 in the morning. What time do you get there? 6:00. Praise God. You can now begin to see the gradient of their devotion to carnal things as regard to the things of God. But when it comes to coming to church, workers must be in the church 8:30. 9:00. We are still speaking in tongues, expecting them. 9:30. We are still trusting God and laying hands upon the chairs. God, order their feet. Why? Because there is no devotion in them. They have not come into the place of commitment and giving their lives into it. They are not actually involved in the things of the kingdom. They see other things as of essence more than the things of God. I'm talking about devotion. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, listen. Many of us think that devotion is to contemplate. Contemplation. Or meditation. Just sit down. Gnostic attitude. Gnostic attitude. Do you understand? You sit down. We do all of that. Praise God. But it's more than that. Have you ever seen a devotee before? Oh, there was a man that rose up in the city of Lagos. The name of that man is called King. King what do they call him? Eh? Reverend King. Wow. Reverend King was another character that you need to learn from him. Give it to him. His discipleship attitude. Satan gave him so much wisdom to disciple people, and if Satan can give an individual such wisdom to disciple, when you see Reverend King, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 6 people are sitting down. Oh, no, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, they are sitting down. It's difficult for you to be able to point to who is Reverend King among them. They look like him. They dress like him. They keep beard like, Pastor, you heard about Reverend King now. They keep beard like him. They speak like him. They were so much devoted to this man in such a way that when you commit sin, the punishment that Reverend King gives to you is to burn you with fire. The church was not diminishing. They saw it as persecution. They saw it as discipline of faith. Do you understand? Hello, church. They saw it as what? Discipline of faith. He has discipled them to endure hardship. So much more that Reverend King has become a phenomenon. Do you know where he had his church? Along Airport Road. Eyebrow of Lagos, where elites live. It's elites that live around that Airport Road. You see poor people there. And yet, he converted almost everybody around that place onto a devotee. Have you heard about Guru Maharaji? Praise God. Because we really need to understand what we are called to. Because the reason why we are not powerful, the reason why we are trying to do exploit, the reason why we are not strong enough to pull down the stronghold, barriers and obstacles, kingdom of the earth, is just because of this issue of devotion. Guru Maharaji came to Akura in 1990 and he wanted to see my boss. I have seen a little of light. And I said, you? Not when I am sitting down here. You will see him. I said, you will not see him. Of course, I had that light to stop him. The people said, he's Guru. I said, Guru, I wanted to preach to Guru Maharaj. I've been radical for Jesus for a very long time. Pastor taught me. Praise God. I said, you are not seeing him. He said, but I had an appointment. His name was on the list. I said, sorry, your name is not here. You are not seeing him. And so the man, of course, there is no GSM. There is no way he can call my boss. I said, I came home, your boy said that I can't see you. And so I don't know what he wanted to do with Guru Maharaj, but for them, they know. That's part of pursuit activities. You know what? The boys marked me. And they monitor my movement. I was going through that government house back gate. They just double-crossed my car. I don't know how they marked my car. I don't know how they know the number of the car that I was using. If I hope for, they double-crossed my car. And they pulled me out of the car to kidnap me. But thank God, some of our boys that were found, they just saw. They said, Ogabelo Lele, I was told that. That's how they rose. And they began to shoot. And those boys ran away. Why are they doing that? Devotion. They are devotee. They were devoted to the cause of their master. They believed in what their master is doing. And they were ready to run their life with it. What are the content and the level of your devotion unto Christ? Because it's important for us. The Lord Jesus Christ was talking about devotion in the book of Matthew chapter 10. Give me the book of Matthew 10. Go to verse 37. Look at this. Please look, listen to me. He said, he that loveth father or mother more than me. He that loveth father or mother. Is Jesus Christ not oblivious of the Exodus chapter 20 verse 2? Honor your father and your mother. Do you understand? The book of Matthew chapter 19 verse 6. Quickly give me that scripture. We'll come back here. Matthew 19. Let me check. Okay, verse 19. Look at it. He said, it's the same Lord Jesus Christ that he's saying this. In order to let them that the narration was not the same thing as what he said in the book of Matthew chapter 10. In the book of Matthew that we just read now. The narration is not the same thing. He said, honor thy father and thy mother. So that they would say that, oh, you are obligating the law of Moses or you are breaking the law of Moses. He repeated the law of Moses thereafter. I don't know whether it was the same day that this narration was made. He said, honor thy father and thy mother, and thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Go back to that Matthew. that we read previously, 10:37. He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. This is what we call devotion. This is the teaching of devotion. He was telling them how comparatively you must obey your parents. He was not talking about being disobedient to your parents. The word honor is to do certain things that will bring them into a place of honor in society. Oh, that's my son. Do you understand? Oh, that's my son. When you steal, you dishonor him. You have put this honor onto that family. But when you do well, he starts to say, meet my son. How many of you have gone home and your dad said to his friend, oh, I've been talking to you about my son. Come. He doesn't have anything to say. Hey, Samuel, come. He just wants to show off. That's the honor. Praise God. Oh, yeah, he just graduated. He just graduated. He just finished with his master. What? You say you, I think for class or so. He knows. So. Praise God. It's not as if he doesn't know. But he just wants to show honor. Praise God. So it's quite, it's not the same thing as loving Christ. It's quite different from loving Christ. He didn't say you should dishonor your parents. But he said that, now, comparatively, a man supposed to give attention to his family, to love his family, but it has limitation. A man supposed to love, your father supposed to love you, but it has limitation. Praise God. Now, I remember in those days, I can't forget this story in a hurry. My auntie, the only sister of my dad, and my father loved this woman. I have never seen that kind of love in my life. He said, he's my only sister. And so, that love was also transferred to us. Especially, I caught the fire. And I love my auntie so much. So, one day he just complained to me. Then I've helped his son to join Nigerian Navy. He said, your brother is not coming home. Your brother is not talking to us again. I've not heard from him. Since he joined Deeper Life, we've not had anything. He's not talking. I completely isolated the family. I'm not asking you to do that. That's not what I'm asking you to do. It's ungodly for somebody to do that. But listen, I made up my mind that, oh, today, I'm going to deal with him. Apart from the fact that I've seen him in the Navy, I also want to show him that I brought you here. I said, right from, in the presence of Pastor Kumuyi, I will deal with you. Praise God. And I dressed up and I was going. As soon as I get to the door, and I heard songs from the choir, no drum, no guitar, no nothing, no, I don't know whether, they don't play keyboard. They just, and they were just singing that song, and I was arrested. I was arrested. I never knew that my brother had seen me, that this boy is coming to make trouble with me. I was arrested. They never call utter. I was born again then. But I needed to be reborn again. Praise God. Later I was asking God, Father, are you validating what this man is doing? He said, no, not that I validate it, but he has chosen to honor me in terms of meeting. In terms of meeting. Give it to him. It's one of the security details to Baba Kumuyi. So he had no time for anything. He had no time for anything. He's so much devoted to him that my brother has not been able to impregnate his wife, even till today. Praise God. In the morning, they call him. In the night, I call him a man like Uriah, after the order of Uriah. Praise God. You know how devoted Uriah was. That is the level of devotion that God is asking from the church. Praise God. He said, will I go to my house, sleep with my wife, when this army of God are fighting the battles? God forbid. How would God not avenge Uriah from his beloved son? Praise God. How would God not avenge Uriah from his beloved son? David was his beloved, the man after his own heart. But yet, David was never spared because of a man who was devoted to him. He was not the only devoted to David, but he was also devoted to God. He said, the army of God are in battles and you want me to go and sleep. Listen to this. I don't know the kind of generation that we are raising, but we are putting up this meeting in order to change your orientation. We have been there before. Pastor is a witness. We are not telling you what we have not done. We are so much devoted to the cause that we believe so much more. I have told you a story that I needed to come. I came for night vigil in Akure. And my pastor needed to paint his house. And he just called a few of us. I wanted to paint my house. And you know, he wasn't around. The wife. It was the wife. I needed to paint. You know, Papa is coming. We must paint the house. And we said, how much is it going to cost? He said 90,000 naira. I said, 90,000 naira. I said, yeah. Okay. And I was looking at everybody. Nobody was ready to. I said, okay. I have 90,000 naira, but it's at home. It's in Lagos. I said, yeah, you have to go back and bring it now. As I was going, my pastor in Lagos whispered to me, said, make sure you come back. You know you are the head of the Bible school. You are the one who is taking Bible school. Come to Akure. Come back to Lagos. I had night vigil Friday, Saturday morning. I have to try. I have to start. I got to Ife. I knew I needed to wait and rest. I just took about 1 hour nap. And I continued the journey. Took the money in my house. Come back to Akure. And went back to Lagos. Devotion. Listen. I can't remember the number of times that I left my car on the street of Marine Bridge. Especially when there is odor. I will just park my car. I said, well, those where we come and park it. Tomorrow I will go and take it. Those people in the, you remember in the 90s in Lagos, once you park your car, they will tow it. I said, they will come and they will tow it. I will go and bail it out tomorrow. And I will pick Ogada to meet with Bible school. I can't remember in a hurry how I converted my B2, my Volkswagen B2, into evangelism, devotion. Because many of you will be looking at us and this is what you envy. This is what you are looking for. No, you don't get there like that. There's a process of getting there. I will park my Volkswagen, my B2, and I will take Okada down to Ejigbo. For Saturday, because Pastor, you know now, you come late to church, in our former church. Ah, theater. Oju to fi ma wu eh? Ah. Right from the pulpit, they will wash you down. Àwọn eléwo bẹ̀rù Ọlọ́run. Wọ́n ní bẹ̀rù Ọlọ́run. Wo bó ṣe ń rìn. Àwọn alákọ̀rí. Wọ́n ní bẹ̀rù Ọlọ́run. And so when you are, once you notice that it's about 2-3 minutes for you to leave, you begin to run. You run 100 meters race. Relax and you sit down. Praise God. And your pastor will be walking. Especially even your senior pastor. Those that you are a pastor. People that are your senior. They are working with you and you just pass without taking their Bible. Ah, won't be that to be. Nibolo Timbo, who are you? You are a pastor. But do you know many of you will just see us, even when we are not careful, you will push us out of the road. I'm telling you, you will push. I'm not asking you to be devoted to us, but there are decorum in the house of God. There are certain things that we must not do. The house of God is the pillar of truth. We need to change our orientation on how we serve God. And it is important. You carry bag. You will be walking. All of them, they see that they will be looking at you. Many of them are in the choir. Praise God. They are there. They will be looking at you. And I just shake my head. What kind of generation is it? And I won't blame them. Praise God. It's important for us to begin to learn devotion. Praise God. Hallelujah. So, now listen to this. The word devotion is the same word that is used for worship. It is used for what? Worship. To adore. To magnify. Now, not just the aspect of worship, to build up. Praise God. Now, you don't build what is not yours. Hello, church. You don't build what is not what? You don't build what is not yours. You only build that which is yours. It is what is yours, what you own, that you build. Listen, the reason why many of you are not building with us is because you are not to own the work. You have to come to a place where you own the work. Pastor was giving a testimony. Was it this morning? You can't send me out of my father's house. I will leave when I choose to leave. Praise God. Hallelujah. You can't ask me to leave. It's my father's house. It's my father's house. I went to a church in Lagos. Tush church. Very tush. In that church, they don't do hard work. They employ people who sweep for them, people who clean for them, people who do all kinds of things and so on and so forth. And of course, when I got there, the man had a revelation knowledge. He could pick me. Before there, I said, something is in you. I think you will help us. Can you join us in the leadership meeting? I laughed. I said, please let me sit down. He said, no, please come and join us. I told him, I warned him. I said, I'm very, very argumentative. I don't close my eyes to things that are wrong. He said, I'm looking for people like you. I said, okay, fine. And I said, sir, who is so close to you in this church? He said, they're with you. I said, okay, call him. I said, pastor said I should join. This is the kind of person, I don't close my eyes when I see something that is wrong. They said, no, don't worry, we need you, and so on. So there was a day when they were debating. They were talking about the sin of Job. And it became a serious argument between him and the wife. I can remember. The way we do it here at a point in time, the man was getting angry. I'm talking. My wife, you're opposing me. This and that. I don't know why. The wife just said, Rabola, can you please share your view? I sat down on my own. I said, pastor, your wife is right. You are wrong. You are very, very wrong. It's not the sin of Job that made God to punish Job. He said the sin of Job was that he was always afraid. Because he said, that which I fear has suddenly come on me. He said it was because he's afraid that each and every one of you, when you have, I said, no, that's not the reason. That deliberately God wants to make a proof out of Job, that Job is upright. It's not because of his sin. I said, there are many people who, the one said, sir, thank you very much. And the man marked me. I said, okay. By the time they were having their meeting, they didn't invite me. They didn't call me again. And I was cool with it. What am I saying? In that church, there was nobody sweeping. And I told the man, I said, come. Why will you employ people? People will not be blessed. Let's do this many thing. He said, no, that we pay them. I said, I will lead those who will sweep. I was already ordained a pastor. I was ordained a pastor in 1994. Praise God. And I'm talking of 2010. 2010, 2009. I said, and as I'm scrubbing, they say, Abrabolan, Tamisi, Walara. I never mind them. You know all those bankers in Lagos? The way, and you know, bank, working in bank was a kid, the man was a bank manager. And so he I didn't mind them. I was just doing my own thing and so on and so forth. Why? Because I am devoted in my father's house. What is your devotion in the house? What are you doing? How can you pull things down when you don't, when you are not showing devotion, even those small things? Praise the name of the Lord. Now, Romans 12, 1 and 2. Give us another devotion. You present your bodies a what? A living sacrifice. Now, the Lord Jesus Christ was making an analogy. He said, he that will follow me must learn the attitude of taking up his cross to follow me. If you cannot take your cross and follow me, you are not fit for the kingdom. What is the cross? Infirmities, weaknesses, failures. In other words, if you cannot, with your infirmities, some people will say, the reason why I can't go into choir is because I don't want them to insult me. You are not ready for Christ. I don't like the way Brother Femi talked to me in the ushering department, so I'm not walking there again. You are not fit for the kingdom. I don't like the way they are doing in the organizing department. As a matter of fact, that technical department is something else. I am moving out of it. You are not fit. Praise God. We are trying to distribute some people into a department, and somebody said he's not going to choir. I said, why are you not going to choir? It's a privilege for you to go to choir, the elite choir. You don't know the fidgety choir. We don't just use people to choir like that. It's a privilege for asking you to go to choir. He said, you are not going. He said, because the first day I went to choir, the way they insulted me. I said, what did you do? He said, you are not part of them. We don't allow people who have not gone through adoption class to be in any department. You must be indoctrinated. We must disciple you. We must know that you are our home. We must notice the word of God is planted and rooted in you. So the choir are doing their work by chasing you out. I said the person who chased you out did not do well. He's supposed to kill you. Praise God. And I said, it is that choir you will walk. That place that you say you don't want to walk, go there, go and walk there. Praise the Lord. So in other words, you don't reject a department or reject a certain services in the church because of an individual. It shows that you are not devoted. There's no atom of devotion in you. Listen to this. The Bible said that, offer yourself therefore as a living sacrifice. What he was saying is that kill yourself. Consider yourself dead. Make sure that you are a sacrifice. When somebody is a sacrifice, he's sold out. A sacrifice is something. I can't forget in a hurry when my dad was giving me to a junior sister who just came from United States of America. And my daddy said, see, this is a gift. Both is dead and is living. It's yours. Take him away. In other words, when he was handing me over, he broke the bridge. You can't come back. And the woman treated me like a slave. Because that's what my father asked her to do for me. But guess what? I was so devoted to her, to the extent that when my auntie is coming, I will work for money to 10 o'clock in the night. I mean from 7 o'clock in the morning to 10 o'clock in the night. Of course, the clothes that I wore but have been dry up, I will start ironing until the following morning. And I'll be the one who will prepare food. How can you say that you will live in my house and you will satisfy me? Have you gone through what I have gone through? And my wife will say that, when you call him, I go through. Yes. I know, it's not everybody that will go through it. But let them have it, because it pay off. Guess what? I was the one who buried her. When she was about to die, I said, send for Bola. He said, carry me. And she started telling him, he said, that house is yours. It's at Ring Road. He brought the paper of the house. He gave it to me. He said, you're a true son. Devotion. It pays off. It pays off because there's need for us to bring this thing into practical life. It's not just, you know, coming to hear rev. It's good. I have revelation to share. But let's look at basic domestic issues that could make you. Today, I am good for it. I am better for it. Before you prepare food and I say your food is sweet, because I know how to cook. Praise God. I can pound yam. I can share amala. How many of you? Ndomi children. So you need to begin to see this thing in the practical aspect. When we are telling you, do this. It is for your future. It is for your destiny. You are going to be better off for it. So he said, offer yourself as a living sacrifice. Listen, when he talked about sacrifice, what he was saying is that give everything that you have. It's so funny that even in the church, we are still debating the issue of tithe. We are still debating the issue of tithe. And I look at the people who are preaching that don't give tithe in the church, they are taking from them more than tithe. Hello, church. Pastor, they are taking, I know a man in Idakode. He preached against, we had arguments. And he private chat me. He said, what you are saying is true. He said, but do you know that God demands more than 10% of our income? I said, I know it's because of your greed. Because you think that 10% is too small. Praise God. You know the man. The man who is on the Facebook. He's always on the Facebook. He's making noise. He's an apostle. He's making noise, seriously. I don't know. He's an apostle. I told him that there are gatekeepers here. We are watching activities. We are watching attitude. He said, I come and worship with us. I said, except you give me platform. When you give me platform to come and preach, I will preach on tithe. Praise God. I will come. Listen to this. We are still arguing. The Bible says, offer yourself as a living sacrifice. What is tithe? 10%. 10%. Out of all your income. And people still find it very, very, very difficult. You are not devoted. It's not an act of devotion. I mean, sorry, those of you that are not paying tithe, no apology. I don't have apology for you. But it's the truth that 10%, somebody says it's a law thing. Even if it is law, were you meant to break law? If it is a law thing, were you ordained to break law? Do they ordain you to break law? Why can't you keep that law? If it is law. Praise God. Wife has salary and a tithe. Kosi not only my John Nule. Mani take Jakaya wo ya ni Mabamiso Udua Korelowo. And Mabamiso, don't tell me. At the point in time, I don't even know when she earned her salary again. Because I don't know whether this man is broke or not. Say, okay, conjami this Sunday. And he know. So Mama Yahweh think Christy. Praise God. It's an accountant. Listen, you are not meant to break law. If you say it's law thing, do they ordain you to break law? Why can't you keep the law? But whereas it's not even a Levitical thing. So there are so many things like that we have not shown our devotion. They ask you to make contribution. How much do we have for this convention now? From people. If each and every one of us had contributed what we asked us to contribute, you know that we would have run this smoothly, without stress. We won't give this man hypertension. We were there cracking our brain in the office here over the issue of money. Praise God. Why? Because we have some people who have not learned devotion. We must learn the attitude of devotion in the church. That is when we will begin to pull down strongholds. That is when we can stand as a priest. Devotion will make you to wake up early in the morning. and you will not sleep. You are speaking in tongues. You are walking up and down. It's devotion. It's devotion. Listen, when I get, by the time we build our house in that place, I can feel thick darkness. I can feel it. I knew that that place was full of darkness. But I said, yes, I'm going to fight the darkness around here. Do you know how many times they invaded my house? And I knew that it's a fight back. It's a fight back. But we fought the darkness to a standstill. Praise God. And I begin to feel the ray of light, devotion. Devotion is what brings the reality of the kingdom now to your living room. Without devotion, you can't experience the kingdom. I want to ask God to grant unto the house the spirit of commitment and devotion. I want to ask God to give us a fresh baptism that right from this moment, the fire of the Holy Ghost will be ignited into our heart. That we will show some more commitment unto the things of God. We shall not hold back. I say we shall not hold back. We shall not hold back. What we are doing for fellowship that we consider as too big, the Lord God will give us the grace to be able to do much more. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let there be baptism. Let there be baptism. That's on your feet. Let there be baptism. Let there be baptism of fire. Let there be baptism of commitment. Let there be baptism of devotion. After the order of Elisha, let there be baptism of devotion. After the order of Paul of Tarsus, let there be baptism of fire. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, no more holding back. No more holding back. No more holding back. No more holding back. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you, dear Father. Listen to this. It starts. Thank you, Holy Spirit. There is an individual in our midst. You have a very hot argument with your leader. Very strong argument with your leader. The argument was, and you make up your mind that, oh, I'm not going to go back to that fellowship. That's the spirit of rebelliousness. Go and settle with him. He's your leader. Though he might have his own faults, but he's a man with infirmity. Go and settle with him. Another person is here. You have the spirit of abortion. You have the spirit of abortion. It's a man. Spirit of abortion. You abort projects. Certain things that God would have done with your life. In the process, you will be at the midst of it. You will abort it. You just abort it for no reason. Spirit of abortion. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you for your grace. Lord, we are asking that you will help these people. Help this individual. Help this individual. Help this individual. Help this individual. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you, dear Father. Whatever news that you received previously, before you come to this meeting, that does not make you happy, God is going to turn it around for joy. God is going to turn it around for joy. God is turning it around for joy. I say God is turning it around for joy. After this meeting, you will hear good news. About that same matter, you will hear good news. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I rebuke the spirit of discouragement. I rebuke the spirit of discouragement. In this house, in the life of few people here, spirit of discouragement, I abort you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Go forward. Every spirit of weariness that is weighing you down, that is making you to give it up, I rebuke and resist it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Receive the fire of the Holy Ghost. Receive the fire. Somebody is there, you are trusting God for the salvation of your parents. And you are so uncomfortable with him because you feel that he's into serious occult. God asked me to tell you that he has heard your prayers. That presently your father is saved. Things that you are seeing in him may not look like it. But God say, I should tell you that he's saved. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. The joy of the Lord is our strength. The joy of the Lord is our strength. Let there be joy in this house. Let there be joy in the family. Let there be joy in the house. Let there be joy in our business. Let there be joy in our business. Every hope that looked dashed, that hope is raised again. Every project that looked as if you cannot accomplish, the strength to accomplish it, receive it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Strength of Caleb. Strength of Caleb. Strength of Caleb. Receive in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, we thank you. Oh, blessed be to the name of the Lord. Oh, blessed be to the name of the Lord. Oh, blessed be to the name of the Lord. Oh, blessed be to the name of the Lord. Lord, we give you praise. We give you thanks. Lord, we give you thanks. Lord, we give you thanks. Those of you that still have the habit of stealing, the next theft, if you don't repent, you'll be caught. The next theft that you take to steal, you'll be caught. It will bring a serious shame, not just to you, but it can abort your future. Stop it. There is nothing you need, you ask from God that God will not give to you. Father, we thank you. Blessed be to the name of the Lord. We give you praise. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Thank you very much, Pastor Bello.
We believe you were blessed by this message. For additional information, you can follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at PGC Church, or visit our website www.pgcchurch.org. Thank you.